We will all go to the Lord in prayer together. In just one second. As we quieten our hearts, let's focus on our purpose of coming together and who we are about to acknowledge, who we are coming to give glory and honor to, who we owe our entire lives to, who is the only one that can do what he has done for all of us, no one but him, and that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we all come. We come in Jesus' name, humbling our hearts in your presence, thanking you for your mercy and your kindness. Thanking you, Father, that you have started us into a brand new day of a brand new week that was not promised. Some of us are on the road traveling. Some of us may be doing other things. But, Lord, right now we humble our hearts in your presence and say thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, because you didn't have to do it. And as Jeanette said, you are the king, but you are not just the king. You are the king of all kings. You are the one who is in control of everything, every life, that everything that breathes life is because of you. Everything that grows is because you. Every animal in the forest and anywhere else is because of you. And, Lord, we are your creation. We were created in your image, Lord. You've made us like you, Father, in a way that we physically may look like you. But, Lord, it is your spirit that we're asking today that you would come and dwell in us as we humble our hearts in your presence. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Father, you've done so much for us all, seen and unseen. You brought us through a week, just last week, to this new week, to this new day, Lord God. Blessed and honor to you, Father. Lord, as we lift you up, we ask that you would please forgive us and strengthen us and allow your Holy Spirit to have your way in our hearts and our minds. Create in us, as David said, a clean heart today. Give us a renewed mind, Father. Open our minds to hear what the word is saying. Open our minds for understanding. Give us the wisdom that we need to stay close, Lord, and the discernment that we need to choose the right path. And, Lord, when our flesh is raging, Lord, let us remember we don't live by the flesh. We're no longer sinners. We're no longer a slave to sin, but we're a slave to righteousness, and that is to serve you and to trust you and to obey you. Help us, Father, to bring back to remembrance everything that we will hear today. Bless this service time, Lord God. Please, we're asking you, Lord, that you'd please bless it, Lord. Let this be not just another time we're coming together, but Lord, we're coming because we love you. We're coming because we're trusting you. We're coming because we need you and we want to hear from you. Bless the preach word from Jeanette as she brings it forth. Lord, I ask that you would give her a refreshing in her soul, that you would give a transformation in her thoughts, that, Lord, your spirit will be mightiful through her, Lord. Forgive her, Lord, and direct her path. Let there be no condemnation, not only in Jeanette, but anyone else on this call, Lord God. That means, Lord, that we are not standing guilty because, Jesus, you paid it all for us, past, present, and future sins. Lord, we thank you for that. And, Lord, we thank you for Alexandra as she reads your word. We pray, Father, you bless her. Let your anointing fall in her through her soul, Lord God, and resonate out of her voice. Lord, we pray today, Lord, that the anointing will come, and, Lord, we will hear differently than we heard before. Lord, bless each and every one on this call, Lord. Let this be a time that we honor and glorify you and that we receive what you have for us to receive. Lord, we ask that you block distraction. We block chaos. We block any confusion, any doubts, any mind that just travels away from what we're here to do, Lord God. Bring us under your umbrella today, Lord. We're asking this in the name of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, come on in. You're welcome, and we bless you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Richard. It's beautiful.
Praise the Lord.
All right, we're going to be in chapter 3 of James, and we're starting at the 13th verse, and we will see what the Lord has to say. Go ahead, Alexandra. You're on.
Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of the wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not...
Hold on 1 second. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Somebody help me with that. What is he saying there?
I think he's speaking of not being prideful, but humble.
Yes.
And making sure that
if you are wise, your conduct should reflect it. What do I mean by that? You could have all the right answers and lots of knowledge about lots of things, but if you act like a fool, which is it? How many people, and maybe not you, but I'm going to certainly sign up for this one. How many people know what is best but don't necessarily do it?
Amen.
Your conduct should reflect what you know, not just be great wisdom to pass on to others. But you don't do it yourself. Okay.
Verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that...
Let's go verse by verse almost.
Sure.
So he's saying in 14, but if you have bitter envy and are self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth.
Amen.
This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. What is he saying here? What's going on there? He's talking about people that in their heart there's bitterness and envy and self-seeking. So what do they try to do? Often they try to come up with something that even supersedes the truth. For example, let's say the Word of God tells you not to steal. But this person teaches you that stealing under certain circumstances is okay, because they're now claiming to know more than God. More than those inspired to write the scriptures, more than the apostles that paid the ultimate price in forming the early church. That's what we're reading when we're reading James and Colossians and all the writings of Paul and Peter. These are the apostles that wrote this, that were given the torch to establish the church of Jesus, and have it founded on what they teach. Jesus gave them that. And now somebody comes along and, I'm with Paul and I'm reading James, but, you know, what I've learned is, as if it supersedes if anything that they're teaching that is contrary to God's word is a problem.
Amen.
Because it's self-seeking and boastful, and what they're trying to do is seem like they've got some new knowledge greater than what has been imparted by the apostles. And he's saying, you want to know the source of it? It's demonic. When you have self-promoting and envy in your heart, and when I say envy, what am I talking about? Envy what? Envy who?
Envy others. Envy whatever other people are doing, or envy what somebody has, or in the, whatever it is, but just don't like, I mean, just what's the word for it? It's more jealous.
Well, bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart. In this context, which is correct, but in this context, what James is talking about is usually it was directed at the apostles. And so you had people coming alongside the apostles saying they learn a little bit from the apostles, and then they say, well, I can do what the apostles doing. We y'all don't need to listen to him or her. I can teach too. I got some principles that I think could help establish the church also. And the Bible is telling us, or James is telling us right here, it's coming from a demonic place. This is an unclean spirit influencing that person, if not living in that person.
Amen.
So we must be very careful when you see that rising up. And you'll see it as leaders eventually. You're going to be facing the same thing. Whether you're in leadership in your church, no matter what is the ministry, or whether you're in leadership in evangelistic outreach like what we do, and some of you are a part of that, some of the people, the very people that you've ministered to and that you've nurtured, there's going to be envy and bitterness in their heart, and they may not even know it's there.
Preach.
But it will surface, and what it how it surfaces is they will begin to try and teach or preach something contrary to what they've learned. The source of it is demonic. And what does it cause? Well, we'll see that as we go on. What does it cause but strife? It begins to separate. Because when somebody has that in their heart, they're really not on your page.
Amen.
They're really not. And it begins to show itself. Okay, keep going.
How can we as Christians today identify that in our own hearts? What are some examples of that? As we live our lives today, and how can we do that? How can we identify that in our own hearts and make it applicable to us so that we don't get caught up into harboring this? What are some examples of that?
When a person is feeling resentment, when a person is sitting and saying, I would be better at that than them. Often when a person just kind of rubs you and you can't even figure out what is it about that person that just irritates me. A lot of times it's envy. And a lot of times it's resentment. So you hate to hear them speak, even though you have to admit that what they say is valuable and lines up with God's word. The best way to find out if that is living in you is to ask the Holy Spirit to examine your heart.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, nobody on this call is exempt from that prayer. Should not be something that you don't pray often.
Amen.
I'm constantly asking the Lord to examine my heart because things seep in that you don't even know seeped in.
Amen.
Yeah. How does that happen? Yeah. Oh, a thought that came in that you didn't correct and you never even thought about it again.
Amen.
It seeps in.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you've got you're reacting to things a certain way and you're wondering, what is this? And you can't even identify it because
example?
It's hidden in you. Pardon me?
Is this an example? Because I'm guilty of being envious, I guess, every now and then, and I'm one of the things I'm envious of is Richard and how well he prays. I wish I could find the words.
You
I
laugh,
I could find
but
the words
is,
him.
Amen. Amen, Sarah. Yes.
Well, if there was a thread of envy in you, you just exposed it and completely annihilated it. Because Hallelujah. The Word of God says if there's any little thing that we that might be a little something something, expose it, and there it is. Now, you know, and that's what I do. You know, tarot is funny because I do that with sometimes I'll see a woman that is really, really pretty and really has it together. And when my mind starts feeling a certain kind of way, I will go up to that stranger and say, you really look beautiful today. Hmm. And then it's gone,
mm-hmm.
completely mm-hmm. gone. Now, in your case, Terrell, I doubt that that's, you know, I think that admiring something and envying it is two different things, because when we're envious in a way of something that God is pleased with, just ask him, he'll give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
He will give it to you.
Beautiful.
Matter of fact, you'll probably notice that after today, your prayers have changed forever.
Oh, amen.
But I'm also going to say something else to you, Terrell. I really appreciate the few times that you do pray, you just pray like you're talking to God, and it's a relationship, amen. And there's nothing wrong with the prayers that you pray.
Amen.
Because
amen.
It is so pure. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, that's how I pray. I just talk to the Lord. There's not a lot of what you expect to hear in church.
Well, isn't that
so
what we're
God
supposed to do? It's
you,
supposed to be a relationship, right?
It's a relationship.
Supposed to be. That's how
Absolutely.
You form relationships.
Absolutely. You talk honestly to one another. So, anyway, okay. So, ask the Lord to examine our hearts is the best way, because, like I said, a lot of times things have seeped in and you don't even know where they came from. You just know you're feeling a certain kind of way, and it's probably not that great.
Yeah.
So, keep going.
Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there.
I want to stop there. I want to warn you, those of you who will be and are in leadership, because even if you haven't stepped into it, that's where you're headed. This is a warning. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. That's powerful, because I think that we tend to underestimate the power of envy and jealousy and self-seeking. I want to urge everyone listening, don't ignore it when you see it. I have had more than my share of it a lifetime. And I chose to ignore it and just, well, you know, hopefully they'll realize, you know, whatever they need to realize and stop hating. But let me tell you, what he's telling you here, self-seeking exists, confusion and everything, every evil thing are there. They will bring into your ministry or into your circle a spirit. Now, you're going to say, well, you know, I've seen that, but, they don't really say anything. They haven't said anything that I've heard derogatory, so I'm just going to kind of ignore it. Oh, listen long enough. It comes out in little pieces. And when you have people in your camp that are really want to be where you are instead of embracing where God has them, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
He says every evil thing
is in it.
Exactly. So I'm just going to urge you that if you see that, don't ignore it. Begin immediately to pray on it. I want to tell you something. I've prayed on it in more than one case and asked the Lord to remove it, and it was gone. What was gone? The whole person.
Oh, yeah.
The whole person vanished. Boom, gone. But you have to admit that you are looking at what you're looking at. You have to stop denying things that you see because you only want to think the best. Some of us have that problem. We'll be staring stuff right in the face. There was somebody in my life for a long time, very, very long time. And the other people in my life that were close, very close to the situation kept saying, you know, that person really, really is jealous of you. And I couldn't receive that. I just refused to see it.
Yes.
I didn't want to see it. I don't like to believe that kind of evil about anybody. And I would think in my heart, how do you know what's in somebody else's heart? But the fact of the matter is all the signs had been there the majority of my life. I just didn't want to see it. It's caused me a lot of damage. I am still damaged from some of the damage done because I refused to admit that I was looking at what I was looking at.
Wow.
If you can't admit an enemy is an enemy, that enemy will continue to do you harm. If you can be honest and say, well, you know, every time I wear this, the person criticizes it. Every time I, you know, they or whatever it is. Whatever it is, that's the telltale. Be honest enough with yourself. Even those of us who don't like to believe evil of anybody, if it's staring at you in the face, stop acting like you don't see it.
Yes.
Because that puts the person closer and closer. And they can do you great harm before you figure it out and then they're, you know, removed.
Then how do we address it? I mean, you may have said it, but maybe I might have missed it. But then how do we address that person that is we acknowledge in our hearts this person is evil, but how do we deal with that person? What are the process?
Great.
You take it directly to God.
Take it to Daddy.
You can't really come to a person and say, I perceive you are a very jealous, envious and wicked person. If you do that, the person will deny it and they'll say, now they got something on you. This person pretends to be able to discern my heart. They're probably of the devil. How about just take it straight to God who sees everything? Take it to our Heavenly Father. Take it to our Lord and Savior Jesus. Because he's looking right at it. He's waiting for you to bring it to him so he can handle it.
Amen.
Oh, preach that. Preach it.
There was somebody that just came to mind that did not handle it. And it became a thorn in that person's side the whole time. And who was that? That was Joab to David. Joab to King David. Remember, Joab was his sister's son, his nephew. But time and time again, Joab showed his hand that he was not your friend. And what did David do? He allowed this person to keep growing, I'm going to call it, in the ministry. And I'm calling it a ministry because they were showing us in this realm what it looks like in the spiritual realm. David was building an army to go against the enemies of God. What are we doing? Building an army to go against the enemies of God. It's the same. But he let Joab stay and let Joab get closer and closer and closer. Now, the longer he let Joab stay, what was happening? Joab was becoming more and more influential with the whole army. Because Joab's gifting was different than David's gifting. David had been now called, sure, David was a mighty warrior, but he had been called now to be a king. So he's just now over the ministry. Started out a mighty warrior, but now he's a king. So Joab is the captain of the guard, which means now Joab has massive influence in all the affairs of war. That's different than David's influence.
Yeah.
And the longer you let Joab stay there, the worse it got. So now I'm saying our mission, our army, when you see something like that, instead of ignoring it and pretending you don't see it, bring it to God. Lord, bring it to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
What do you think is warning you from within but his spirit? Mm. His spirit is showing you what this is, and you keep quenching it.
Mm. Yes, preach that.
Because you don't want to see it. You love the person, or you care about the person, or you think you need the person.
Hmm.
You don't need an enemy standing next to you with a dagger.
Amen.
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 Okay, I don't know how we got there. Keep going.
We needed to go there. We needed to go there. Sandra needed that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I received that in
Amen.
Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's
Amen.
Name. Verse 17, Amen. Who's sweeping the floor? Sounds like someone's sweeping the floor there. Verse 17, mm-hmm. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Okay, leaders,
mm-hmm.
It is very important that, say, for example, you're over a men's group, or you're over a boys' group, or you're over women, a group of women. It is very, very important that you are fair and treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
With the love of God flowing through you, it needs to flow to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you talked to that at one point or another was in a church, and they would tell you how the church seems to have some sort of a clique, and outside
mm-hmm.
of the clique, you came later and you never really felt a part of?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many people can say that?
Yes.
I think most.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you were a charter member or in the very, very beginning formation of the church, you never really, because they are already meeting, they already have their friends, and you're not really invited. That's not how the love of God flows. The love
mm-hmm.
of God needs to flow from leadership down to everyone. And I'm saying that because as leaders, your example is the one that will be followed.
Right.
If you're only talking to your select little three people, and you exclude everybody else, that's exactly how the people under you are going to behave.
Yeah.
Peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield to what?
Spirit of God.
Spirit of God's great answer. What else do we need to be yield to? Here's the word, submit yourselves one to another.
Yes, amen.
We all know, okay, well, we're going to yield to God's spirit, but often what he's calling you to do in peaceable and gentle and purity and wisdom and mercy and grace is yield one to another.
Mm.
And you know what that feels like? It feels like humbling yourself.
Yes, amen.
Because you'll say, well, this person's not smarter than me. This person's not a better speaker than me. This person's not a better this, that, or the other than me. Humble yourself.
Yeah.
Humble yourself where you're called to humble yourself. And all of us are called to submit to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
That's so
okay.
Yes.
Amen.
Verse 18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Amen.
The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. So what would, remember we used to talk often about, now flip it. What would be the opposite of that? Righteousness cannot be sown in chaos.
Right.
Amen.
Righteousness cannot be sown in chaos. Keep going. Do you have a comment?
Full question.
I'm sorry.
I have a question. Then what happens if you're trying to sow righteousness in a workplace, but then there is people there that just, you know, constantly nagging, constantly fighting against you? What do you do then?
If you are sowing your seeds in peace, there is no fight.
Ooh-wee. That was so good. That's so good.
It's impossible to fight with peace. So all you can do in an environment, as Richard brought up, all you can do in that environment is in peace be a living testimony.
Yes, hallelujah.
You're not supposed to go in there, well, I'm a minister of the living God, and start, you know, arguing with people. And a person saying, no, I'm not really interested. Oh, no, you're going to be interested today. And the person is saying, man, I don't even really want to talk religion because I don't even think that's a great idea on a job. I'm not even trying to do all that. I don't want to talk about that. And here you are. Well, I just want to make sure you ain't going to hell. What you trying to say now? I'm going to hell? Man, you are out of line. Well, I'm just telling you what the Bible said. Is that sowing righteousness and peace?
No. Not at all.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
And totally. Righteousness is sown in peace. It's not sown in bickering. It's not sown in argument. It's not sown in chaos. Recognize something. Some people that you would like to minister to have something to say every time you open your mouth about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really don't want to hear it. No, they're not going to come out, you know, slinging, you know, boxing gloves. But really they do. They just do it in a calmer and more subtle way. Leave them alone. Bring them to God.
Yes.
Say, Lord, it looks like this is hardened ground. This seems like the seed is not falling where it needs to. Please soften their heart. And when you do, let me know. And if it is not for me to minister to this person, then send somebody who can.
Mm-hmm.
This is how we sow seeds in peace. Don't keep banging down the door. You shouldn't be banging down the door. Okay, keep going. Chapter 4.
Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do. Shall I pause there?
Yes, please. Where do wars and fights come? Does it not come from your desires for pleasure? Is not every argument, most every dissension, because you want to have your own way?
Amen.
Yep.
You want to make your point above and over anybody else's point?
Yes.
And it creates dissension, and it's coming from the wrong place. It says that war in your members. What members is he talking about?
Members of the ministry of the church? Christ followers?
do not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members.
Oh, that war inside of you.
Yeah. The war is inside of you.
Mm-hmm. The war is coming from you.
You're the one causing the problem, as well as the other person who's warring because of their fleshly desires.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Who knew that when you were arguing your point, it wasn't for really the right reasons. It's just your flesh wanting to make sure you're heard and make sure you have your way.
Uh-huh.
And that whatever you're trying to get is fulfilled.
Yeah.
We can keep it on a small level of just arguments between two people. But is that not what starts wars?
Okay.
What are they fighting over right now in Ukraine?
Mm-hmm.
Land.
Yep.
And power.
Yep.
I want, and the other person says, you're not taking it from me. I want. So this very propensity that's within all humans is something that we should try to be aware of what it is. And if you go right back to where we just came from, where we were talking about submitting to one another, that stops it, doesn't it?
Amen.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That kind of just cuts it right there on the track. Somebody wants to argue, all you have to do is not argue, and there's no argument. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody and they're just pressing their point? True or false, pressing a point.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll just stop arguing, they're left to argue with themselves, and it doesn't last long, does it?
No.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 2. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. Ooh-wee,
okay.
That's good.
Now I want to bring something up that just jumped off the page. He's talking, James is talking most likely to Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And what were they worrying about?
Mm-hmm.
Jews were worrying because they didn't want to be under the thumb of Rome. They were fighting because they didn't want to be under Rome's rule. They wanted to be independent of Rome. They didn't want to pay taxes to Rome. So they're mad because they don't have what they want. But at the end of the day, James is saying, why don't you just ask the Lord about this? If you feel like something is this unjust, ask the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And you also want to notice that you murder, you covet, and cannot obtain. All of your efforts don't last or bring about anything that's positive. Okay, now let's say Russia has destroyed a huge portion of Ukraine. All right, so what did you get? What did you get? A bunch of trashed, desolate, trashed land? Is that the big prize?
Mm-hmm.
So for all your efforts, and even in time, you'll lose it again.
Amen.
Because when we go about things the wrong way, it usually doesn't produce anything good. How's anything good going to come from a bad?
Awesome.
Bad doesn't just transform into good with a bad core, with a bad foundation, with a bad seed. Okay, keep going.
Verse 3, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures.
Mm. Ouch. Get off of my feet. No. What is he saying? He's saying that often in our hearts, we say we want this for that,
yeah,
but that's not really what we want it for.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, if you just let me win the lottery, I'll be able to help the homeless situation here. I'll be able to help judicial issues that I see that I'd like to get involved with. Think of all the things that I can do, Lord, if you let me win the lottery. And the Lord says, really, Jeanette? Is that really what you would do? And the person says, yay, Lord. Or is it because you want a bigger house?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it because you want prestige or you want honor among your peers? And people tend to honor people who have money and despise people who don't.
Isn't that the
truth? Is it wrong to want to have a bigger house?
Somebody else answer that.
No.
I was wondering the same thing. Is it wrong?
Not at all. No, it's not wrong. But
I'll tell you something that I noticed throughout my life. Every time I went to the Lord, and I've been blessed, and I won't even bother to say how many times, but every time that I went to the Lord because I needed to make something better, and my heart was for my children.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went through a divorce at a young age, I said, Lord, please give me a house again so that my children will have at least that as stability. They won't be moving from apartment to apartment and whatnot. The Lord gave me a house, and I mean gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
The next time, there was a drive-by a couple of years later, about 6 years later, there was a drive-by shooting right next door to the house I was living in. And a woman told me that if my kids went to seventh grade in that area, I would lose at least one of them to gangs.
Jesus.
So I went back to the Lord and I said, Lord, I would like to move again because I don't want to send them to school in an area that can cause. Lord gave me another house. What I'm getting at here is a lot of times the Lord's looking right at your heart.
Yes.
So what do you want a bigger house for? Is it for the 5 children you're going to adopt? Or is it to store more junk that you don't use and won't share?
Okay. Amen. That's good.
Don't use and won't share. You need one more closet for clothes you haven't worn in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even fit anymore. But you won't part with them. You've held those clothes long, so long they're back in style.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
And yet we're asking for more room for more stuff. So what do you need a bigger house for is the first thing you should ask yourself. Well, Lord, you just blessed me with so much stuff. The other thing I want to hit in this is we often ask amiss. Even when we pray for other people, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to discern what the need is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Otherwise, we're praying amiss.
Amen.
Here's an example. There's a person who has a problem spending. And their behavior is self-destructive.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they can't pay their rent. Is the prayer, Lord, help them with their spending? Or is the prayer, Lord, heal them? from whatever is going on inside of them that's creating this symptom. So you're asking, stop them from spending, and then they say he answers you literally, and they end up with no money and homeless. But the real issue is that they needed to be healed from whatever they're trying to gratify through their spending. You're praying amiss. You're praying for the symptom, not the problem. A person has sores. It's an indication that something is wrong, probably in their blood or in their skin. They need a healing.
Amen.
Most of what you're looking at with people is a healing that's necessary, or a casting out, or both. We tend to pray on the surface things that we see instead of on the core.
Yes.
We're praying amiss. If a person needs a healing and you're saying, Lord, you need to help them with their weight. They're too fat. That's going to kill them, Lord. No, the problem, if their weight is a problem from an emotional issue, Lord, heal their emotions. Heal them in that area. Get the picture?
Amen. Yes.
So we have to ask the Lord to help us discern how to pray. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows how to pray better than us.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So solicit the Holy Spirit when you pray. Don't just come with, you know, Jeanette's list. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct your prayers.
Amen.
Ask the Holy Spirit, who knows what you don't know, to utter things that you can't utter because you don't know them. He doesn't even have to reveal it to your mind for it to be uttered by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What does that look like? Sometimes if you're in prayer and you seem like you've run out of words and you're sitting quietly, but something in you is groaning, groaning. The Holy Spirit is making a petition for you because you don't even know what to ask.
Amen.
And who would you rather pray, you or the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
I would like to rather the Holy Spirit until he forgets that I wanted a bigger house.
Oh, Lord.
See, the Holy Spirit may leave out some of the things you think would make life better.
Right, right.
Because he's connected directly with the Father, and he knows what would make life better, and a bigger house isn't. Solicit the Holy Spirit when you pray. Ask him to pray with you and pray for you and bring the things to the throne that you don't even know to pray.
Yes. Amen.
And don't hesitate to sit still before the Lord.
Amen.
As Terrell said, it's a relationship. That means not one person does all the talking. You come before the Lord, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Bye, Lord. Talk to you later. That's not a conversation. If you be still before the Lord, he'll start telling you stuff.
Amen.
I am so hyperly talkative that the Lord just interrupts me. He just has to interrupt. Okay, keep going.
Verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do not know that friendships with the world is enmity with God.
Okay.
Whoever there. Oh, sorry.
Hold on 1 second. What a powerful verse.
True.
He's not calling you worldly. He's calling you an adulterer.
Mm-hmm.
Worldly, we could handle. Well, I still got a lot of the world in me, and I just still like to do this, and I still like to. That's just the world that's still. No, he called you an adulterer and an adulteress.
Right.
Mm. And he's saying, do you not know that friendship with the world is at enmity with God? You're courting his enemy.
Right.
And then you want to play God like you're the bride of Christ. But you want to run back over here and be the bride of the devil. And when he says a friend to the world, what does that encompass? What does a friend to the world look like? How about somebody that co-signs for things that you know offend God?
Mm.
What do I mean by that? You can't have it both ways. Again, we've talked about this. You can't sit there, laugh at dirty jokes, you know, be in a room with pornography on a big screen TV. You can't. And then want to run back and say, well, you know, Lord, I was just there. It's not like I was, you know, doing the drugs or I was, you know, watching the porn. I tried to turn away from it. Why are you there?
Amen.
Because you want the world to accept you also. You don't want to pay the price of being set apart for Christ because you're not going to get invited to the party.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you're still on the party list and, no, Lord, you know I love you. I love you. That's adultery. You're over here with this harlot, and at the same time, you're trying to come home to your wife or your husband. And then you're expecting the wife or the husband to accept that. That's the relationship that God is showing us here as we were talking about the virgins a couple of weeks ago. Don't come here talking about you're my wife or you're my husband, and you're over here with a harlot. And then you want to come home with all your filth and touch me. Have a relationship with me. Have me be faithful to you. This is what God is saying. I don't want to be faithful in a relationship if the other person is not. But yet that's what we expect of him. Do you not know that friendship with the world is at enmity with God? You make yourself an enemy of God. It's the opposite. Yes. It's his enemies that you're embracing, and then you want to run back in his camp on your knees. Oh, Lord, you know I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where were you last night? But I'm here now. Who in a relationship wants to hear that? Nobody. Okay. Keep going. Oh, wait a minute.
Whoever.
I think we better stop right there because it's 57.
Okay.
Okay, well, yeah, read that last verse, please.
Yeah, I'll read the last one for you. Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to just wrap that up really quickly because I have to end on this because that's where it ended. The Lord is saying, do you not know that the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, the Spirit of God that dwells within you, is jealous?
Mm.
So while you're acting like a harlot, remember that God still has grace. Because some things that are of the world are still in us.
Amen.
So the requirement here is humble yourself. In other words, I'm going to give this cheating scenario another glimpse. What is worse? The person who comes home and says, after they've been out all night with somebody else, and they come home and tell you, oh, but honey, you know I love you, blah, 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 you're the one, you know I just love you. Or the person who comes home and says, I did it again. I am so sorry. I've got a problem. Please forgive me.
Yes.
The Lord says, at the throne and at the foot of the cross, there's still room if you humble yourself.
Amen.
Because I understand that the world is very much in you from your DNA.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, you're going to wrestle with this and that. You're going to wrestle with the world. But at least when you come back, come to the Lord and humble yourself and ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
He says, I left room for that, hence the cross.
Amen.
So yes, there's a lot of rebuke for still having the world in us, but that's what we struggle with.
Amen.
And the Lord ends it on, humble yourself, I'm still with you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I just want you to know how it makes me feel so that eventually you may have victory in this area of your life.
Praise your Lord.
Lord, add a blessing to the reading of this word. Thank you, Lord, for that today. Thank you, Lord, for that today.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Carol, would you like to close us in prayer? I think we lost him.
No,
wonder
I'm
why.
Here. I'm
okay.
Here.
You got this, Carol. We believe in you.
All right, Father, since you put me on the spot, I was trying to hide in the hole, but she pulled me out.
I love it.
Dear God, we want to thank you. Thank you for this gathering.
Thank you for your
teachings, O Lord. Thank you for showing us how to look at ourselves and determine what pleases you and what doesn't.
Thank you
for letting us know that when we live the ways of the world, which I am so guilty of, that we are being adulterers or adulteresses towards you. This is not what we want to be, Lord, so please give us the strength to be better and improve.
Yes.
Please bless the people in this world, Lord, and bless Jeanette for the word she gave. Bless everybody on this call to get through their week until we meet again. And please help this world, Lord, because it's crazy out there.
Yes.
Everybody needs a touch from you, Lord. Please have mercy on us, and don't take the world from us just yet. It seems like we're in the end of days to me. But please give us another chance to rectify the things that we've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Carol. Have a blessed week, everyone.
Everybody else, God bless you.
Bye-bye.